Welcome back to Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris here with you this evening. Now, many experts have argued that behavioral science must be at the heart of the public health response. Now, we saw many people panic and suffer anxiety following the announcement of the restriction of movement order, and we still see people flouting the order despite the multiple warnings. Now, what can psychology tell us about these responses, and how can we use behavioral science in fighting the spread of the virus? Joining us on the line now, we have Dr. Brendan Gomez, consulting psychologist. Thank you so much for joining us this evening. Can you go behind some of the fears that have been triggered by the order? I mean, I'm thinking about fears that have triggered the panic buying and the anxiety and such.
Well, thank you. First of all, thank you so much, Melissa, for having me today, especially as we celebrate United Nations International Day of Happiness. Now, ironic as we may sound, one key reason for this International Day of Happiness, celebrated today on 20th of March, is the suffering of humanity and our planet. And I know most of us, you and me, all of us, are mentally and physically preoccupied with COVID-19. Because one of the things it has done is has exposed our vulnerability as a human species. You know, we were not prepared for this large-scale global disaster. I think for most of us, if ever we thought of such a scale of an attack, we would have expected it to come from terrorists, from nuclear war, or aliens from another planet, not from a tiny virus.
Right. So we're all kind of grappling with this unprecedented situation. Now, if you could advise the government, what would you advise them to perhaps anticipate or to take into consideration when rolling out new measures, when making new announcements, especially in the coming weeks?
Yeah. You know, I'm so glad you're focusing on addressing the behavioral aspect of this disaster and what governments can do better, because an effective public health strategy needs to take into consideration not just the medical aspect of the situation, but also the psychological aspects. Now, we know military enforcement should be the last resort, right? As both a biologist and a psychologist, I know that we cannot fight viruses with military power. Where are we going to put all the people who are caught? Are we going to put them in prisons? Because this is exactly what we're trying to prevent, crowded situations. So an effective plan, when executed early enough, would mean educating the public and changing behaviors. Now, given such a readiness was not present or possible, we need to take the next best approach. We need an effective knowledge-sharing solution where there is buy-in from people, and that's highly possible as long as it's attractive enough. Now, we've seen thousands turn up for religious gatherings, right? So this is there is a pull factor. We've seen thousands have stormed supermarkets, so there is a pull factor. First, we need to look at what motivates and drives public behavior. Now, currently, we see fear is a motivating factor. For all of us, for you, for me, for all of us, the fear of not having enough food, not having enough necessities, not being close enough to family or isolation, the fear of not having a job to come back to, a business that will survive, finances to pay the bills. Now, these are real. These are real fears. No matter whether you're Chinese, no matter whether you're Malay, Indian, white, black, orang asli, these are real fears. So if we want masses of people to comply, we need to understand what drives them. It's easy to say that, oh, these people, they are stubborn. Oh, yeah, some may be. It's easy to say, oh, yeah, these people are so selfish. Yeah, some may be. But knowing Malaysians, we have seen our people come together, driven by common concerns, right? For example, in the last elections.
Right.
Now, we need to know, how do we harness this behavioral drive to get people to cooperate with national efforts to curb the spread of COVID-19?
Could you elaborate a bit on, very quickly in the last couple of minutes that we have left, I mean, specifically, how would you harness that fear?
Yeah, so it's a three-step approach. First of all, governments need to work collaboratively with behavioral and public health experts, as they do with medical and security professionals. The biggest change takes place when behavioral learning takes place. Now, some form of this is already happening, but it's not enough. We need to understand what will make these announcements attractive enough, relevant enough for people to pay attention to them and to follow them. Second, we need to get the riot, our citizens on our side, you know, and to deputize them even as collaborators. One way is to reactivate the community and neighborhood groups to lead the way in spreading the message of compliance to movement restrictions. Another way is to provide assurance of basic necessities and food, not just verbally, not just telling us that there's enough food, but in action. Mm. Having people in each neighborhood be representatives in checking on daily supplies at the supermarket, providing this info back to the neighborhoods, even in more restricted movements, being the elected people to buy supplies for them. Remember, the most important is that people need to feel a sense of control. In times of threat, our natural human response is to run away or to fight. That's the natural response, fight or flight. We do not want our social fabric to disintegrate either way. A fight response and we see massive panic and movement of people. A fight response and we see social disorder and chaos.
I'm going to let you finish with the third one, but we are running out of time. What is the third one?
A third way is to empower individuals and families with what they can do at home to stay sane and well, especially emotionally. And now this is important to us, especially in terms of mental health professionals, because the worst decisions are made when people are not feeling their best or thinking straight. So helping people cope emotionally with their feelings, giving them control, helping them share their ideas and experiences with others will benefit in keeping social order. Now, already 30% of Malaysians have mental health problems, yeah? And if we zoom in on kids, it's almost 1 in 5 that are challenged with issues such as depression or anxiety. We don't want to worsen the statistics. So
understood.
In this regard, in empowering people, we have launched our strategy of spreading happiness online.
Well,
and this
thank
is
you.
Launched today.
Thank you so much, Dr. Brandon, for sharing those insights. Happy International Day of Happiness to you. And I'm Melissa Idris, signing off for this episode of Consider This. Thank you so much for watching. Stay home and stay safe, everyone. Good night.
Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Dear fellow Malaysians, please abide by the movement control order imposed by my government. Don't leave home if there are no pressing matters. Don't balik kampung unless if it's an emergency. This movement control order is imposed to ensure the safety and the well-being of every Malaysian, as we are now facing a serious threat from the outbreak of COVID-19 virus infection. It is a deadly virus. Do not gather or attend any social activities outside your home. My government has guaranteed sufficient stocks and supplies of all essential items throughout these 2-week restrictions, so there is no need for panic buying. I call upon every Malaysian to be responsible and not spread fake news and cause unnecessary panic among us. Please observe your personal hygiene, wash your hands frequently, use hand sanitizer and face mask, stay safe and practice social distancing, and drink lots of water. We will get through this together, as Malaysian, as one country. This is the time for us to be strong and persevere. It is better for all of us to be safe than sorry. Inshallah, we shall prevail.